Hey, everybody, welcome from the studios of Grand Forks Best Source, our show today. Jody Carlson in the studio. She's running for Grand Forks City Council Ward 5. We're going to talk to her in just a minute. Your show today, by the way, brought to you by The Broken Drum. The Broken Drum Bar brings you Bike Night. Hop on your bike and ride to The Broken Drum Monday nights all summer long. From 6 to 9, enjoy Bike Night specials on domestic bottles, cans, and rails. $3.75 Fireball and McGillicuddy's. $4 Busch Light Pounders. There's deals on domestic and import taps. And $2 off any burger basket of your choice. Bike Night at the Broken Drum. And you don't need two wheels to hang out for a great time. The Broken Drum, Monday nights. Place to be from 6 to 9. It's Bike Night for 21 and older. Kick off the week the right way. Monday night, Bike Night. At the Broken Drum across from Home of Economy in Grand Forks. All right, if you have any questions or comments for Jody Carlson running for Grand Forks City Council Ward 5, feel free to text or call. Our number here at the studios of Grand Forks Best Source, 701-213-0863. Again, 701-213-0863. Time for our daily segment called Jokes My Neighbor Tells Me. Here we go, Jokes My Neighbor Tells Me. You know, politics is like driving. No matter what lane you're in, anyone moving faster than you is a maniac. Anyone going slower is a moron. You think that's true, Jody Carlson?
Well, sometimes it can be.
Yeah. Welcome, by the way.
Hey, thanks for having me, John.
You know, it's funny. We know who each other is. I know who you are. You know who I am. I've never met you until today, which it kind of blows me away. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
As far as my professional experience is that I've been a nurse for 40 plus years.
Okay.
My most recent position for the last 20 years was a registered nurse executive.
Okay.
Dealing with budgets and people and managing and supervision of department heads. A lot of the things that I think about as far as my skill set and the potential to be on the city council, I believe will be a huge benefit.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up in Grafton.
Okay, North Dakota. I was going to ask you. Yeah.
However, I've lived in Grand Forks for almost 40 years.
Okay.
I've lived in my home in Ward 5 for 27 years.
Okay.
Where it used to be kind of in the country.
Yeah.
Where I had a gravel road.
Yeah,
And now it's all developed all around me. So life has certainly changed.
Yeah. Married, children, dogs, cats?
I'm married. Mm-hmm. I have two grown children. I have two grandchildren. I have two cats.
Okay.
Very spoiled cats. But,
okay. Life is good.
Life is good.
Yeah. You have kind of a following with the old North Enders around Grand Forks. Is that true?
When you say the old North Enders.
Well, not
Enders,
the old. There's this group, and, you know, I've only lived around here for about 30 years. You get the group, the North Enders. You know, you've got the self-proclaimed mayor of the North End and all these people, but they always seem to talk about you.
I'm not sure who the mayor of the North End is.
Well, he'd be the self, but that'd be Bill Sullivan. I've heard that name many times.
I've seen him on different social media. I've never met him, but
you know, maybe it's the North End and the We the People thing,
right?
You get a lot more action on the North End of Grand Forks, possibly, or am I not right there?
Every day there are new people that are joining the We the People group. I must absolutely confess, I'm not a tech person.
Mm-hmm. Me neither.
You know, my first computer I actually got when I was in graduate school at UND.
Oh boy.
And now kids get them when they're in preschool. Yeah. So I was
one of the last people to get rid of my flip phone.
Yeah.
That's because I ran it over.
Oh no. So I'm at a little bit of a disadvantage there.
Okay.
And I do have a Facebook site that is Jody Carlson for Ward 5.
Okay.
But there is a... That is troublesome for me sometimes. So I do share a lot of information as far as my campaign on the We the People page as well. And when you talk about the North Enders, I would say that there's people all over the city that, you know, either follow or ask questions or make contact.
Sure.
And it seems to be increasing on a daily basis as people get to know me.
One of them is watching right now and said, hi, that's Tim Schwantz, Schwanny.
Oh, okay.
He follows us a lot here. Great guy.
Yeah.
How did We the People, did you start that or how did that get going?
No, that was actually a group which was started by Ben and Senta Graduleski and Chris and Michelle Spicer when the Foo Fong issue first came about. And they started the group as they became aware of it and started to gather petitions and whatnot. And I, whether it be through the newspaper or social media, had found out about this, you know, Foo Fong corn plant and then made contact with them and said, I want to be involved in that because I have a lot of questions that I would like answers for. And so then I kind of jumped on board with them and became involved in, you know, looking for a lot of information, doing a lot of research, and finding out a lot of things.
So was this kind of the start of the jump into politics for Jody Carlson? Because I don't know if you were very politically active before or even on the social media scene or whatever, but you are now. And I always like to read what you have to say because I'm always interested in it. And again, I've got to put this out there. I got no skin in the game here because I'm not even a North Dakota resident, which, you know, I wish I was. But was that kind of the start for you? And is this something that you've always wanted to do? Or it's like, well, too bad. Here I am. And now I got to keep rolling with it.
Yeah. Well, as far as kind of my foray into politics, and maybe not specifically politics, but when I talk about my career in being a nurse, one of my primary responsibilities was digging through government regulations.
Oh, sure, sure.
And interpreting them, and maybe there's new ones where you have to develop new policies and procedures, you have to do education, and then you have to enforce whatever the new.
Yep.
So as far as understanding the workings of government and the whys, there was some involvement there. But as far as actually being more politically active and speaking out either against something that I have found is not beneficial or speaking in favor of something that needs to continue, I would dare say that the experience with Foo Fong was really what got me going with that. And I also have no skin in the game.
Right.
I'm retired. I love my flower garden. My husband and I, we farm pumpkins every year. I have my house is a pigsty right now
because
I've just been busy, but I have no agenda, but I love people, and which is probably the reason that I got into nursing in the first place.
Sure.
Is because I love to be an advocate. I see when things are good and I see when things are not good, and I love to help them when there comes an issue that something needs. Somebody needs to say something.
And I've also noticed with you, Jody, you do the research before you start talking. There's too many people that just their gut feeling and they think they can spill it all out there for everybody. And a lot of the times their information is way wrong. How important is that to you? Because you're the one that's your name is behind it.
Yeah.
But how important is that to you to get the facts? Because not everybody does.
That's almost number one.
Yeah.
When it comes to me, is that I have my research, and there were a lot of times, you know, trying to present my research, you know, to the community, to the city council, and you know, this is the law, or no, this is the connection with this, and trying to point that out and educate people. And also with my nursing career, I kind of have a nose for research when, you know, you look at patient care and trying to get to the root of things. That's where that comes from.
You know, if Jody Carlson is my city councilman for Ward 5 and there's something going on and I bring you a bunch of research, I'm assuming you're going to read it and you're going to look at it and you're going to go with from there. Over in our side of the river, they don't do that. I don't think half the council, well, I better not say that. what made you decide to run for city council? Was there any one thing, three things? Have you been thinking about it for a while or just somebody just like a smack in the back of the head and you went, that's it, I'm running?
Well, and I think as we mentioned earlier, getting involved in this and starting to see, And my primary purpose is what I have seen over the past few years, and I'm really not trying to dog or discount mm-hmm. the current council or the mayor or whatever. But I will just, in sharing my experience, what I saw, what I heard, what mm-hmm. I became aware of through research and whatnot, is that the people of the community were essentially the last priority in any decisions that were being made at the city council level.
Okay.
And to me, we even have a city organizational flowchart which shows that it's the citizens,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
then it's the mayor, then it's the council, and so on. And I believe that our organizational chart has been tipped upside down these last few years.
Right.
So what leads me initially to be involved is there are a lot of dissatisfied people who live in the community that see better.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think Grand Forks is a great community. I've lived here for a long time.
Yeah.
And people literally, John, have come out of the woodwork that I don't know from Jack.
Yeah.
That either are current or past city employees, that are people that have lived in the community for 70 years that are just saying, you know, they bring the information to me and say, can you fix this?
Yeah,
can you do something about it?
Now, is it the city council then not listening to the people they represent? Because that's our problem in East Grand Forks. Say you could have everybody in your ward say something to a council member and they'll ignore it, most of them. Is that what that is? Is they're not listening to the people they represent and they're just going with their own feel on this? And I mean, how important is it for you, if you're going to be representing Ward 5, how important is it for you to do what your people want you to do?
Right. And one of the things that's a little bit of a tricky part is that we have wards within the city that we run for, that we do represent. Mm-hmm. However, as a member of the council, essentially you're making decisions for the city as a whole.
Sure, right, right.
But you always do want to, you know, make sure to get your words in there on Ward 5. Now, I lost my train of thought on your question on serving the people of Ward 5.
Yeah, how much is our council now listening to the people they serve?
No.
And that's...
I don't believe so.
And that's a huge problem.
Right.
Are people running for office now because of their ego? I mean, there's a reason you're in city council. There's a reason you are elected to office or whatever. It's to represent the people.
Right.
And I just don't know if they're listening and representing the people the right way.
And I think that part of it has truly been forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very honest. I'm very transparent. I had a ward council person that when a lot of this started, I attempted to make multiple, both myself and my husband, I tried to make multiple contacts with him. Nothing,
mm-hmm.
nothing. And even at this time, as I now continue to have questions as we move forward with different things, contacting the count, crickets.
Mm-hmm.
Like
mm-hmm.
Even I just had a question about the children. Yeah, there you go. Thank you, John. But I even had a question about the Children's Museum, just very specifically uh-huh. about the Children's Museum question that I had. No response. And I'm really not sure. Maybe it's just me that they're not responding to. I'm not sure. But one of the things that when I started to run for the council, of course, there was a few entities that had reached out, you know, the chamber, the union, the mm-hmm. whatever, that mm-hmm. wanted to do public forums, which sent us all a list of questions that, you know, prepare.
Yep, yep.
How would you answer these or whatnot? And what I did, because this is what, it doesn't matter what I think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can ask me questions as the day is long, but what matters is what the people of my ward think. So
right.
what I did is going on different social media sites, even the Rants and Raves group, which is a, you know, sometimes you get a lot of negativity on there. But
mm-hmm.
when I truly ask the question, what do you guys see as the priority for the city? What would you like to see changed?
Mm-hmm.
What things are great that you would like to see continue? I posed those questions to the people of the community, and I had folks that reached out that said, thank you for asking.
Yeah.
Like, nobody has ever asked us that, so mm-hmm. thank you.
And then that's funny, Jody, because the next question on my cheat sheet here is, what will be your number one priority if elected?
Yeah. Well, and I think that was probably discussed in the newspaper the other day, but I do believe that I put that as a number one priority in anything. It's the people.
Yeah.
It's the people of the community and their ability to have a say. I think that there is hesitancy. I think there is some fear of intimidation or fear that, you know, I don't want to ask that stupid question or whatever it may be, that the people are afraid to speak up. And I'm not that way at all. You can ask me anything. And
right.
Nothing is a stupid question.
And in my opinion, right. In my opinion, if you're a city council member and somebody says this question might be stupid, I would think there's no such thing as a stupid question. Otherwise, probably 90% of the questions I ask are stupid because that's just the way I am. Biggest needs in Grand Forks right now, do you think? And you know, it's hard because with the way things have gone from the national level on down, and I never thought I'd be that guy, but maybe it's because I'm getting to the age, but I worry a lot about our future. I worry a lot about our kids and what the hell kind of a dump are we going to be left with, you know, in 30 years. But what do we need now, do you think?
Well, and I will say that that was a huge driving concern with a lot of people that spoke up recently with what has been going on with economic development is a concern for our children and our grandchildren.
Yeah.
And what kind of shape are we going to leave them in? What kind of country are we going to leave them? What kind of mess may be that they might have to clean up? So I think say it again, John, because my mind goes 1,000 miles.
What are our needs now? Oh. Like me, I look at the future, and maybe that's not the right question for what we need now, but what are your major concerns for Grand Forks moving forward, say, in June, from June on?
Okay. One of the things that seems to be the perception, just from what I, you know, listening to people and the radio and the news, there seems to be a perception out there that I am absolutely against anything that has to do with economic development.
Okay.
And that is
because we've had council members like that in the past.
Yes.
Okay.
That is absolutely 100% not true.
Okay.
Not true. I am for growth. I am for growth. I am for economic development. The little hitch that comes along with that in the experience that I've had with the community is that it needs to be good development. It
well,
needs
yeah.
to be properly vetted. We need to ensure that our community is, you know, when you look at whether it be return on investment, which we've had, you know, issues, you know, going on with the Beacon downtown and what's happening with that and Epitome Energy. And I mean, there's so many different things. So the, you know, other than representing the voices of the people, I think that growth is good. Economic development is good, but truth, transparency, honesty, research, proper vetting is a huge thing because I can tell you in my experience that, and you may or may not know, after the experience in Grand Forks, I worked with many other states that had reached out that had similar situations happening within their states and their towns with these, you know, major investments coming in into their community, so that you know, they reach out saying, "How did you do it? What can we do to be able to help with this?" But
you know,
our
track record with
it's the vetting process,
right?
And I don't believe, like, even if you use an example of Fufeng and how long that went on, and not only that we need the proper vetting process, we need the proper people to be involved in the vetting process.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can tell in being involved in in these other communities, whatever country it is, you know, when we look at foreign investment, there are so many shell companies out there. You have to dig.
Yeah,
and
you
dig
do.
And dig.
And, you know, Jody, when you look at the track record of Grand Forks, I mean, we could have had a Marvin's here. We could have had a DigiKey. We lost Amazon. You know, we lost FedEx after building a nice big new building. And then this Fufeng thing comes along. And at first, people thought it was maybe a good idea until, like you said, we did a little bit of digging. But you welcome economic development and economic growth. But like you said, you got to be careful too. You can't just, at first it sounded like a great idea, but then things start to come to light and it's not. But that doesn't mean, just because you were against one thing doesn't mean you're against everything.
Thank you, John. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Quick question, and then we're going to take a little break before we come back here. But, you know, one thing that we see a lot of, especially now that, that most city council meetings are streamed and you can watch them somewhere, and it seems like there's a lot of people that tend to not go to their own meetings. Is Jody Carlson, are you available? Are you going to be able to make all the meetings? Are you going to be able to be there to represent Ward 5?
I'm retired, John.
Okay. So that should be a yes then.
Yes, that is a yes.
Okay.
Yes. And even I mean, through the past few years, I rarely missed a meeting as just a community member. Now I often watch them live stream as I'm working on some other things. But yes, I am available, and I do intend to be there to represent the people.
Okay. I'm glad you're in here. I finally get to meet you and pick your brain a little bit here. Jody Carlson, running for Grand Forks City Council, Ward 5. We've got more to talk about, and we will be right back after this.
Hi, this is Representative Claire Corey. I am running to be your next state senator in District 42. I am the only one in this race that is conservative, experienced, successful in delivering you results, and a proven leader. I have proudly passed over $515 million in tax relief, introduced military-friendly legislation, and fought for school choice.
Hi, I'm Bea Marie, and campaign manager for Claire Corey. She's the best candidate for state senate and District 42.
Vote for me, Claire Corey, on June 11th. Paid for by Claire Corey for Senate.
We'll get to that.
By the seat of my pants.
Yeah, I was actually not going to talk about that anymore, but we will if you want. Okay, we are back. Jody Carlson, running for Grand Forks City Council in Ward 5. First question back from the break, Jody. What do you believe is the role of the city council? It doesn't matter what city we're in, but what is the role, if you know?
Interesting that I answered that question from one of the entities who asked that. The role of the city council is to make sure that we have safe drinking water, we have good roads, we have safe food, we have fire, we have ambulance, we have police, all of those basic city things. That is the primary role of the city. So my priority will never be Epitome Energy when our roads, that was maybe a bad example, but we need to look at those things. We need to fix those things priorities before we move forward. When I look at the city's ability to do that, I have this vision in my head of Grand Forks, you know, of these wonderful roads, and when we look at beautification of the city, and I, as well as probably some of the other council members, you know, issues with all the billboards, and are we becoming the Las Vegas of North Dakota with all the signs?
Is getting to that point.
It is.
Yeah. And in my opinion, Grand Forks is nice looking.
Yeah.
We've got the Greenway. The downtown is coming along beautifully, but the rest of the town, you know, there's spots around Grand Forks that definitely need some work. But now we had talked a little bit beforehand. When you look at Fargo, what do they got? 8 or 9 off ramps going into Fargo. Grand Forks, we've got a total of 3. We need another one. It sounds like 47th. But now we were talking about maybe the bridge going there. But wait. All the money and time spent on trying to figure out where the hell a bridge is going to go for the last how many years, they still don't really know, I don't think. But what do we do about a bridge? Because we definitely need, when you talk about roads and how a lot of that has to do with, and I haul beets. I'm all for it. I'm all for the farmer, believe me. But we got to admit that during harvest, they pound the piss out of our streets and they go right downtown, but they have no other choice. Where do we put a bridge? Where do we put the off ramp? I guess I don't know.
I'm thinking I just talked about that on this show, but maybe I was talking about that with someone else this morning. But it has been determined, despite all of these studies, that the next bridge that we need to have between the communities needs to be a high bridge.
And yes, I think we all know that. It has to be, yes.
We know that because mm-hmm. The majority of us have been here through flood, and we know what it's like.
Yeah, we don't need 900,000 vehicles a day going down Gateway.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And through the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources, it has been determined that a high bridge, there's not that ability in order to put that on the east side of the river on 32nd or 47th. From the best that I understand, that is the current information that I have. So that the nearest bridge that, for me, would be available, which would be Merrifield, which when you talk about the truck traffic, I think that would be a great option, mm-hmm. would be the Merrifield Bridge. And also when you look at, then we're not looking at building through neighborhoods. We're not going through school zones. Mm-hmm. We already have determined that that's the bridge we're going for, and we can do our city plan, our county plan around that there's going to be a bridge there. So where do we go from there versus trying to put a bridge into an area that's already developed?
Okay, four off ramps, John. Merrifield Road should have next off ramp, not 47th, already half done. 32nd, Demers, Gateway. Oh, I guess we could go north and get off north of town there. I forgot about that one. Thank you, Shawnee.
North Washington.
Thank you. Another one.
Leave it to him.
Yeah, leave it to Shawnee. We need a park like Bringwat on the south end. The parking for soccer is horrible. One thing that drives me nuts, Kaylee Elizabeth, one thing that drives me nuts is the areas that the city landscapes in residential areas that don't get taken care of. Specifically a median in a beautiful south end neighborhood with bushes and mulch, but full of weeds. It's the first thing you see when you drive in. It looks terrible. Every year I see a lot of city property, even already early in the season, on my drive to work every morning, that looks like crap. I mean, I don't know if the city is responsible for it, but if not, should something, you know, maybe they ought to start sending letters to people. But when you talk about having a nice looking place, you know, that's what I always say about my hometown. It's a good looking place. I might not want to spend my life at that particular town, but I love the way it looks and I love all of that stuff. But, you know, people need to get off their butts a little bit too and take care of some of their own stuff. But with the high bridge and all of that, you know, the brilliant people across the river bought a chunk of property across the river from 32nd Avenue thinking that there was going to be a bridge there. Boy, and it's not going to happen, but we have to have a high bridge. It's ridiculous. The city and that can't keep up on it. Concrete the whole thing instead. And that could be a solution, I think. Do you have any say or what you think or opinion on our education system in Grand Forks?
Yes, I do.
Okay, here we go.
you know what really surprised me this year is that the last time we had an election, there was, gosh, I can't even remember the number of people that were running for the board.
For school board. It was like 16 or something like that.
And
it was crazy.
And now we have very few that mm-hmm. are running for school board. I think there are a couple good options in the works when we look at replacing the superintendent of public instruction. Mm-hmm. I think there are some options with that. We live in such a very different time right now. You know, when you look at LGBTQ and you look at what kids are being taught, when you look at the phone usage, I mean, mm-hmm. I remember as a supervisor at one time, employees were not allowed to have their phone on their persons while they were at work. And life has changed. People are not disconnected for their phones. So things are very different. And we also have a bunch of probably older people making decisions for an entirely different culture. I think that we need to include, you know, and we've got a lot of great young, responsible people that are part of different committees. I think that they need to be involved in that. But I do believe that right now, with the change in our world, with all my heart and truth and transparency and honesty, our school system needs some help. I believe that we are training up and growing a generation of citizens that may not be prepared for this world.
Okay, I had somebody running for an office in here a couple of weeks ago, and I just brought up a couple of quick questions about our school education system. When you brought up, you know, the LGBTQ, okay, should a boy be able to go to the bathroom in a girl's bathroom? Should somebody be able to go to the bathroom in a litter box? I mean, is...
You know, I'm not sure
what
about
happened to the three R's?
Yes, and let's get back to that. The three R. Let's get back to the basic things that we, I mean, like we say, our older generation, we almost have our own code anymore because we know how to write checks. We know how to write in cursive and we can, you know, you know, do what we need to that way. But I don't know about this kitty box stuff.
I
have not spent enough time to determine whether that is truth or rumor. Should our boys go into our girls' bathrooms or shower rooms? Absolutely not. 100%. I will never change my thought on that. And that is nothing against someone who is, you know, believes that they are a boy, or it just is not the way that it should be. We know that the girls in this particular case, and we know many of them, I know many of them, that are not comfortable with that.
Yeah.
It's not right. It's not right, and it's not something that should be allowed. However, are there options to accommodate people that feel like they are a sex different than their biological sex? Can we accommodate that?
Sure.
We probably can.
Right.
And okay, let's do that.
Yeah. Give them their own room.
Yeah.
I mean, men's, women's. And other.
Yeah. And I feel the same way about the sports stuff, John.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Women's sports are women's sports. We should not be having, and that's kind of way of getting off of track.
Well, just because you're a mediocre man athlete shouldn't mean you should go dominate women's sports.
Yes, and get the gold medal. But anyway, that's way off.
Schwani says, need term limits for school board. 40 years for some is crazy. I was all about the term limit thing, and I'm not so much anymore. But after being explained to, and the thing is it's so different because, say, you do two four-year terms, you could go in office when you're in your early 20s and be done with it before you're 30 years old. And in my opinion, that's not enough experience when you're learning, when you're getting there and you're growing into the people we voted for. But when you get some of the people that are in their 80s and been doing it for 50, 60 years, then I get it. But, 40 years, it's school board, you know, anyway, that there comes a time when people just need to step back.
I've kind of rethought some of that as far as the state legislature. When we look at term limits there, with our particular legislature meeting every other year, and, you know, you've got interim committee sessions and whatnot, but meeting every other year, and you look at the learning curve with that, is a term limit on that in the best interest of our state? I've rethought some of that stuff and what's best for our state and the people who are the decision makers.
Because, I mean, even new blood could still be two terms deep and still be 30 years old. Yeah. If you want new blood every 8 years, you could be asking for trouble, too. I mean, it's nice to get the new blood and the new thoughts and the new ways things go, because kids, they're all different as we get older and all that kind of stuff. But have you been pounding on doors, knocking on doors, meeting people?
I have, as best that I can. I never imagined it would be such a busy time. I have never ran for an office before like this, so I get a lot of questions. I get a lot of people that contact me directly that say, hey, can you stop over? I get a lot of calls, and I love our elders, you know.
Oh, for sure.
For sure, for sure. Mm-hmm. And we have a lot of elders within the community of Grand Forks that cannot get out of their homes. I tell you, you give me a call, I'll be there in a heartbeat to visit with you about, you know, about whatever questions it is that you have.
So, yeah, they might be our elders and not get out as much, but we cannot forget about them. They're what made us what we are now. Yeah. Somebody wants to know, and this was probably coming up next on my question list here too, but can North Dakota, they want to know your thoughts on property taxes. I want to know, can North Dakota feasibly drop property taxes? Can we do it and still get by?
We can, 100%, without a doubt. And there is a plan, I tell you, I've studied this since the inception of it. I actually have been involved in collecting signatures for the property tax. This went before the legislature, or they attempted to get it 12 years ago. And the people were guaranteed at that point that we will have property tax reform.
Mm-hmm.
Although this didn't get voted through, whatnot, we will have reform. It's been 12 years. Crickets.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah. There we go.
Yes. And so I don't truly believe we can rely on our current legislators in order to move forward with some type of property tax reform. And right now, with the way that things are going, you know, for me personally, the last 2 years, my home values, my property taxes have increased. And now just a few days ago, I had an assessor at my home that wanted to come inside to see, you know,
mm-hmm.
what else is new mm-hmm. that we can, you know, increase.
Yeah, we can tax you for more.
Granted, she was so kind. And her and I walked around the house and I, you know, she was wondering if there was insulation in my back garage. And I showed her some things. But as I said, my house is mm-hmm. very, very messy. And I didn't have her come in. But I did answer questions. But it's coming to the point, you know, I have some friends that live, and granted, in the South End, the houses are newer and whatnot. But friends that are paying $1,200 to $1,400 a month just for property taxes.
That's a little crazy.
It's not sustainable.
No.
And we need something. And right now we have found through the last 12 years that our legislature is not doing the job that they have said that they will do. So now we have a citizen-initiated measure in order mm-hmm. to force that and mm-hmm. to put that to a vote of the citizens. So I could be on a whole show to talk about property taxes, but I'll leave it at that.
Once you get elected, we'll talk about it. We'll bring you back in.
Okay. I do believe it's possible, John.
You know, we've strayed a little bit here, Jody, but I'm going to keep straying then, and I'll ask you one more question that not just involves Grand Forks, but it does, but statewide. Does North Dakota need to legalize recreational marijuana? I know they've tried now for the last two elections. They tweak it a little bit every time. All of the states around North Dakota do it now, Montana, Minnesota, Canada. Does North Dakota need it? It's a good chance to make more money for the state government, which North Dakota, when you look at my state, Minnesota, compared to North Dakota, you guys are smelling pretty lovely compared to us over there. But another chance to regulate and make more money, but does North Dakota need it?
Well, I tell you what, I had a gentleman that contacted me the other day asking me if I had the petitions for the weed.
Mm-hmm.
The weed petition,
mm-hmm.
which it took me a second, and it was like, oh, that they had now gotten the approval for the petitions for that. You know what I believe? I believe that our jails and our prisons and our legal system
mm-hmm.
is so overburdened with marijuana issues, it's unbelievable.
Clogged up.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I also have a gentleman that said, hey, tax the weed and get rid of the property taxes.
Well.
You know? I mean, there's obviously been medical marijuana for years.
Mm-hmm.
We know there's people out there that are buying and selling pot.
Yeah.
It just is.
Why not regulate it?
Why not?
Yeah. And you know, the thing is, and I'm not for or against.
Yes.
I'm the middle guy there. But I have yet to see in our local newspaper, whatever it is, I have yet to see anybody get arrested for driving under the influence of marijuana. I have yet to see anybody that caused a wreck that killed people because they smoked a couple of one hits or something before that. But I don't know. I think we could make money off it. Shawnee says one only problem about completely removing property taxes is that all the big rental property owners will benefit more than the common person. And he's got a point there. How do you fix that?
Yeah.
Is there a way to fix it?
I wanted to make a quick comment on, now I lost my train of thought.
Well,
on the marijuana thing, but as far as housing, yes, that is another huge issue, John, is the housing. And when you look at normally, when there's a normal progression, you know, you live at your parents' house, you graduate high mm-hmm. school, maybe you get an apartment, maybe you get a trailer house, and then you get married and you move up and you buy your first home,
mm-hmm.
and then maybe you upgrade, and then maybe stairs aren't good, and then you go back to a
little. Sure.
And
yeah.
There's a glitch in that system, and there is an issue with the price, of course, whether or not those homes are affordable.
Mm-hmm.
But even in Grand Forks right now, we have big developers that are the ones that are purchasing these homes.
Mm-hmm.
And whether it be that they're taking them down in order to have the land to develop something else,
yep.
or whether they are using them to rent them out as, you know, property rentals. Mm-hmm. But we've got that glitch in there where kind of those first-time home buyers no longer have that option because the homes are not affordable. And property tax can certainly be a part of that, but just the affordability of the home itself. And one thing that I have been looking up on is federally, there are grants federally that are available. I think there was like $38 billion this last year in grants for developers who want to develop low-income living. And I'm not talking about apartments, although apartments are part of it. I don't mm-hmm. think Grand Forks needs more apartments.
I don't think so either.
But even if there was one person, one developer in Grand Forks that actually took advantage of that, and that is at the apartments that are right on Knight Drive. If you know where Knight Drive is, kind of across from the Valley Memorial Home on,
oh, sure.
on Columbia Road, mm-hmm. and they're just in the process of fixing that road. One developer took grant money from that totally. Everything out of those apartments, which a lot of them are low-income and Section 8 apartments, totally cleaned them out. Everything new. New carpet, new dishwashers, new everything under a federal grant that people, as far as low-income housing, being able to afford that. But mm-hmm. there's also grants available, even one of them, up to $40,000 help with a down payment on a new home. Why? Over the last 4 years, there is one Grand Forks developer who has applied for that money. Like, why are we not jumping on that bandwagon? Mm-hmm. Why do we not have some type of housing development with first-time home buyers that aren't homes that are yeah. worth $490,000
right. or I mean, better? Is there a thing anymore called or so-called affordable new housing? I mean,
boy.
If it's affordable, it's you could almost label it as low income.
Yeah,
I mean,
or a fixer-upper.
Right, right. Yeah. And you know, in Minnesota, I can remember years ago, because it put a lot of like lake resorts out of business. When they taxed everything, if you owned a resort and you had four cabins, they taxed those cabins as individual like dwellings. And I could see how that could put somebody out of business having four lake homes in Minnesota. But, do they do something like that with the rental properties? Or are guys buying them? And how do they tax those? And I don't know. It's kind of a big mess.
Well, and I'm going to kind of follow that, but I'm going to jump off that
okay.
just a tad bit. Because one of the things that I have been on, when you look at economic development, okay, so the city is tax-free, non-exempt. Okay, so we've got the city, which I still have yet to find out what all real estate and land that they own between the Economic Development Corporation as well as the city, which is all tax-free. Then we've got our schools that are tax-free. And then we've got our city, our county, our school board that are all tax-free. And when you look at those entities and you look at the property tax issue, so we need a new expansion at our correction center. We need yep. a new sheriff's department. We need a new school. We need a new, whatever it may be for the city. Well, all of these tax-free entities who now, through economic development, are also granting 20-year tax incentives
yeah,
to
yeah.
all of these businesses at mm-hmm. like 80, 90%.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so where does the tax money come from?
Right, right.
The people.
Yeah, exactly. Somebody's got to pay
it. And that's it.
Yeah.
There's no free. Yeah, no.
Yeah. And do you think when you talk about some of these things, do you think, did we need to add on to the jail? I know we need a sheriff's department. You at the beginning of the show talked about one of the things that we absolutely have to have, and that's law enforcement. We back our law enforcement yeah. in this part of the world, and we will forever. But did we need to add on to the jail? Do we need to do this? Do we need to house some of these federal criminals in the city limits?
Yeah. Well, I've been following another Sarah Huckabee Sanders out of Arkansas.
Yeah.
Love her.
Me too.
she at one point was talking about something, and I thought, wow, maybe this applies in Grand Forks, how that inmates, prisoners, whatever you may call them, are all being housed at the county level because at the state level, the penitentiaries do not have enough room
yeah.
available in order to house these people. And we all probably know and understand the issue that went on between, is the state reimbursing the mm-hmm. county and whatnot? We've been there, done that. But the issue is, so what's the holdup? Why are we housing so many state prisoners and prisoners from other counties
yeah.
within the Grand Forks County Correction Center.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's one thing. And what can we do to resolve that? The second thing is, as you mentioned earlier, do we need to legalize recreational marijuana? How many people do we have sitting in the jail right now that are there because they got
yeah.
caught smoking marijuana,
yeah.
you know?
And things have changed so much, too. You know, nowadays, when you talk about drug use, it's marijuana. That's what we heard in our day. You know, now it's fentanyl and meth.
Yeah.
And when you look, you know, every couple of weeks they put in the felonies in the local newspaper, and it's almost all of them are meth or
yeah.
fentanyl and the hard stuff. Maybe that's why this more legalizing recreational marijuana is coming into effect now, because you don't really read about it as much anymore. It's just a kind of a...
Yeah,
big deal.
Yeah.
Big deal.
And now I remember my thought. Even back, if you do a comparison with alcohol and marijuana, when you think, you know, the bootleggers
mm-hmm.
and, you know, the guys out in the woods, you know, making their own kind of stuff, how that has changed. Alcohol became legal. And is that the point that we're at with marijuana? And I'm not saying that, okay, soon fentanyl's going to, you know, that
yeah,
is
right,
not
yeah.
anymore. But
right.
You know, is that a place that we need to go, that there's just that progression, that it's legalized, it's taxed,
yeah.
it's whatever.
And you know, another thing, too, if you want to look at it this way, marijuana is not made in a lab. I mean, it's just something that comes out of the ground, and we've been dealing with it for centuries and hundreds of years. But just to go back a little bit, when we were talking a little bit about Fu Fong and you now running for Ward 5, you get elected. You're at your first city council meeting. There has been words said from everybody, you know, over the last couple of years. But you're going to be able to jump right in with these people. No animosity held. They're for or against.
Well, to be honest with you, that concerns me. At one point initially, I believed that with, you know, I don't know those people on the council mm-hmm. very well. They're mm-hmm. not. They're not. Like
and
my friends,
yeah.
That,
and that question was not
with.
A jab at anybody.
No,
so
no, okay. no. But I think once you get to know people and,
nope.
and understand
mm-hmm.
their perspective, and even though you may not agree, you can still respect each other's perspective. I believe that that's possible. What makes me very concerned, and we've probably heard lately through the newspaper, through the radio, or whatever, that it seems that the current council members are not. Maybe in favor that I would be the best
mm-hmm.
candidate
mm-hmm.
for that ward. I believe they're wrong.
Okay, yeah.
I do believe that I am the best candidate for the ward because I see the bigger picture. I think that Grand Skies and the things that are happening out there, I think Ideal Aerosmith moving out
mm-hmm.
to the fab.
Yeah.
Ideal Aerosmith, they are one of the most ethical companies.
Yeah.
I mean, they are fabulous.
Yeah.
And for them to move out and to look at us really looking at our aerospace and our drones and all the, I
mm-hmm.
think that's fabulous.
Yeah.
But there's more to Grand Forks
sure.
than Grand Skies. And I think that we need to look at the bigger picture. And
yeah.
I think the ability to talk to and actually listen to the people, and I'm also a person in analyzing, I ask a lot of questions
mm-hmm.
to be able to understand. I'm really good at that. And I can make those connections with people. And yes, I think I can represent Ward 5
you
and
know,
the city
it,
very
it's,
well.
It's funny how we talk about that, because first impressions are they mean everything, but they mean nothing. Some of my best friends, my first impression, first time I met them, I wanted to punch them in the face. I mean, I couldn't stand them. You get to know them a little bit, and they're great people. Marie says, we're adding on to the jail, creating more revenue by housing federal inmates. I can't remember the numbers, but from what I thought, and correct me if you know this, Jody, maybe I'm wrong, but I didn't think the numbers were worth what they're doing to what we get per federal inmate. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, but that could be for a different show. Why, as we get ready to wrap up, Jody, why should Jody Carlson be elected to the Grand Forks City Council?
And I will say, and I actually wrote something on the We the People Facebook group just last night that had to do with this, that through the whole issue with Fufeng, mm-hmm. I talk with my hands a lot. Whole issue with Fufeng and trying to be heard and trying to get the point across and having done the research and having the truth and trying to share that and get people to understand that, it came to a level of frustration mm-hmm. that, you know.
Oh, there was a lot of pissed off people, just frustrated.
Well,
they were
thank
pissed.
You. I didn't want to say that word.
That's okay.
But that's kind of where it got to. Mm-hmm. And
it got ugly.
And it got ugly. And when you get to the point that you know the truth and that you know the facts and you're not being listened to, the level of frustration can just be beyond mm-hmm. sometimes what you can even handle. You just need to say, I mean, my husband and I just said, we're going to Florida next week. And mm-hmm. we just took off and went on a vacation. I just said, I just need a break for a while. And we just took off. But so it comes to that level of frustration. And I'm a very passionate person. I'm a fabulous advocate and for the people. And that passion at points with the frustration got the better of me. If I could have some do-overs with some of that, I would like to have some do-overs. But I can't. And that's okay.
And that's part of life.
And it's part of life.
Yeah.
I learned a lot. And so in moving forward, when people look at a Ward 5 representative, I'm not going to be banging drums and screaming at the mayor, mm-hmm. which I did do that one time at a city council meeting and called him a nasty name. That is not my intent, and that is truly not my personality mm-hmm. to do that. But I think after 2 years, the level of frustration that people who weren't directly involved didn't understand mm-hmm. all that. So all they saw was that Jody Carlson is in front of the city council calling the mayor names. Which, by the way, to clarify from a radio comment yesterday, there was never, ever one time in the last 2.5 years that I ever threatened the mayor or his family, mm-hmm. ever.
And, you know, it's funny how words get put into people's mouths. And the thing is, the people saying that the who or whatever said that, they didn't hear it anyway. They don't even know. People that don't know, good question, where is Ward 5?
Ward 5 essentially runs, it's got a little glitch in it, but it pretty much runs from 62nd, which has been the end of the city there, but now mm-hmm. Prairie has a new development that's starting out there. So 62nd to the river on the east side, and then runs down 40th, which is kind of behind Walmart and Sam's Club and whatnot, and then runs over to Columbia Road.
Okay.
So it's a big patch of property. And when you talk about knocking door to door, I tell you, the houses aren't as close out there as they are in some of the
like
other areas.
Going to the north end there. That is for sure. Before we end, Jody, is there anything you want to say before we wrap this up?
You know, I don't know that there's anything that if there would be any newer viewers, but I have a concern about the spending of the city.
Sure.
Do we have the money to spend? I think a lot of that needs to be looked into. I think the budget needs to be looked in. What are we looking at priorities for our spending? And is that what we truly see as a priority? There is someone who is running for the superintendent of public instruction that I was listening to his interview the other day, and he was talking about sitting down with the people, looking at, okay, what do you see as a priority? Okay, so number one, so how do you value that? What percentage of your money do you want to go to that priority? Number two, you need to sit down with the people. You need to have mm-hmm. those conversations.
Yeah, you do.
You need to determine what are your priorities, how do you value them, and what percent of your money do you want to go to that? And I think without input from the people, the city, the current city council, we'll never know that.
Right.
They
right.
will continue to make decisions based on what they feel is best. And for me, why am I running? Why do I want to run? Why do I feel like I'm the best candidate? That's why. Because I am a people person, and that is how I intend to run my campaign, and that is how I intend to be a representative
sure.
of the people.
I used to not like politics. Now I kind of got forced into it yeah. with what we do here. but then it was to the point where I loved the election season, but now I don't, because I don't know if it's just because I'm a people guy. But I have a hard time because you bring people in running against each other, and you know they want you to try to throw the next person, their opponent, under the bus and all this kind of stuff. And I just can't do that.
Yeah.
But I am just – I'm really glad that I got to meet you.
Yeah.
Timmy Schwantz says, awesome show, John Roberts, as always. Good luck, Jody.
Thank you.
I think you're going to do well. And
thanks.
And when this is all said and done, we'll get you back.
I appreciate it. Thank you for having me on.
Oh, thank you so much. Jody Carlson, everybody, running for City Council, Ward 5, Grand Forks City Council. I tell you what, she knows what's going on. She knows what she thinks Grand Forks needs, and she's going to do a great job. Our show today, by the way, brought to you by Rumors Sports Bar and Casino, right across the hallway here in the Grand Cities Mall. BT, all of those guys, they're great guys. Jake, Scotty, love them. You want to go watch the Minnesota Timberwolves play? You want to go watch the NHL playoffs? They've got them. They got like 900 TVs. I brought a guy in there for the first time the other day. He couldn't believe there's that many TVs. They got great lunch and dinner specials. You want to swing through there today, get burger and a side for just $6, all right? Open every day from 11 a.m. to 2 a.m. They got DJ Trivia Night on Mondays. Go try to drink one of those world-famous beer towers. A double dog dare ya. Check it out. Rumors Sports Bar and Casino. They are open from 11 a.m. to 2 a.m. 7 days a week. Go and check it out. Make sure you tell them we said to say hi, all right? Let's see here. Boy, we're going to go right to tomorrow. How about that? Dirty Thursday brought to you by River City Speedway tomorrow. Two big winners from last week to kick off the new season. We're going to have NLRA late model driver Brody Trofgruben and NOSA sprint car driver Jade Hastings. This has got me fired up just talking about it. Tune in to make sure you catch the show. And make sure to like, share, tag, and follow us. Hit that notification bell on your smartphone. You'll never miss a show, all right? Hey, the Forks are awesome. Grant Forks' best source is giving them an identity again.